This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here today with a very special guest, Dr. Mike Huber. Hey, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to talk about something that you're very expert on. Here's what I wanted to start with, Dr. Huber. The other day, I came across an article, and you might have seen this. It was a new study. It's called New Study Stokes Brain Injury Fears in the NFL. That was the name of the article. And the article went on to say that 96% of deceased NFL players who allowed their brains to be examined after death suffered from brain disease.
Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to see the whole article, so I'm a little bit concerned over the number of normal type of brain tissue that they may be getting. So it may be a little bit skewed.
Well, it is skewed. Yeah, it is skewed because these were people that suspected that something was wrong with those brains, and they were the ones who donated that to science. That does give a skewed sample. But last April, the NFL agreed to settle a lawsuit, and they paid $765 million to about 5,000 former players over a bunch of health claims. I don't think I'm being sensational when I'm saying that playing contact sports really does come with a price.
Especially professionally. I'll clarify that and say truly in professional sports, absolutely. It does come with a price.
You are also real concerned about kids playing contact sports, especially under a certain age.
Right. The youth, definitely.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that. A lot of us, as we're talking, have kids who play contact sports. And so the question today is, should they? And then what are the concerns? I brought you in to talk more about this, and I want to give you a little bit about Dr. Mike Huber. He's my colleague at the medical school, so he teaches and he practices in the fields of family and emergency medicine for 27 years. That makes you old like I am. We've been around, right?
I won't say it.
He has a strong passion for sports medicine, and you've been a team physician at not only the high school level, but Division I college sports and also for professional sports. So that makes you very qualified to discuss our topic today. Should kids play contact sports? All right, so it's fall. It's college sports. Professional sports are in swing right now. And I want you to comment on this when we're talking about what happens with the blows on the head. In the Michigan State game, there was a targeting call. I don't know if you saw that game. It didn't look to me like the guy was really targeting. It looked like he'd been pushed into this group of people. But they looked at that call, and they reviewed it, and they kicked him out of the game. Is that the rule?
Yeah. If you're called for targeting, there's a penalty involved in that, but then they review them automatically. And then if they assess that it is true targeting, basically using your head to hit a player or hit another player's head, then they will throw you out of the game.
And so why is that such a big deal, targeting, using your head to hit another player?
We've gone through this culture in the last 10 or 15 years with television and these really, the kids would call really cool hits where they knock the snot out of somebody, hitting them with their head, hitting somebody else in the head. The helmet has become a weapon instead of a protective device. And it's almost like I'm impermeable when I have this thing on. And so neck injuries and head injuries and concussions are by far and away head-to-head blows probably lead the pack in regards to causing concussions. So they're trying to stop it. They're trying to cut it down.
So is spearing and targeting the same thing?
Spearing is using your head and driving it into somebody, and targeting is going after their head. So you can target somebody by using an elbow up to their head. So they're trying to avoid using their head as a point of tackle.
Okay. Related to that, then, is this growing body of academic research into this repeated blows that you're talking about on the head, especially, that are part of football, they're part of hockey, they're part of a lot of contact sports, and they can lead to a condition that we sometimes hear about called CTE. Tell us what that is and why people are so concerned about that.
Sure. CTE stands for chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and encephalopathy is a disease of the brain. And what happens and what we're finding out is happening with these people who have constant chronic blows of football players, boxers, hockey players, sports like that, they will end up getting brain damage, repeatedly getting it. And what happens is, over a length of time with enough damage to the brain, you start to see the development of symptoms and syndromes that look very much like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And it's a problem within the brain actually functioning within itself. So the neurotransmitters, the connectors within the brain, they don't function and work very well at all. But what we do know about it now, because there are a number of players, when they die, their brains are being sent, and most of the studies are at Boston University, they are finding out that this is something that develops long after the injuries and the insults have been done. Well, you can play professional football for 10 or 12 years and show no symptoms until you're probably 50 or 60, and then you're going to start to get these progressive Alzheimer's symptoms of dementia, agitation, depressions, and things like that.
And the memory loss, I think, that goes along with that.
Yep.
As I understand it, CTE is one of those things that you can only diagnose after somebody dies.
Right. The diagnosis is made on autopsy, so it's not very good.
Yeah. So the idea here is that a lot of parents think, my son played high school football and he never had a concussion. I especially think about the linemen. Aren't the linemen the ones who are going to get hit most of the time?
Every play.
Every play.
Yeah, every play. The average lineman in the NFL takes about 200,000 blows to the head during a season.
Oh, my goodness.
So small or large, just butting heads type thing. So
what you're saying is that even though you're not having what we would call active symptoms, and maybe you're not one of those players that's just getting out of the game because there's a concussion, even if you're not having that, just that repeated blow that
right.
you're getting by playing contact sports is damaging the brain.
It's the repetitive trauma. But you have to remember that as you move up in levels, the amount of trauma you're getting increases too. It's a difference between a seventh grade boy hitting another seventh grade boy playing football and a 350-pound lineman butting heads with another 350-pound lineman at full force.
Yeah.
So there is some difference you have to think about with that. And we're not seeing a strong history component of this with somebody that played high school football and then didn't play sports after that. We're not seeing them having these type of difficulties. The ones we're seeing are mostly either ones that had repetitive concussions playing sports, so they had numerous concussions, or the ones that may not even had many concussions but just took those repetitive blows, but especially in professional sports.
Okay, so we're going to unpack this a little bit when we come back. We're going to listen to some of your comments as well about should kids play contact sports. Back in a moment. Well, if you're like me and pay attention to what's going on in the world, chances are, just like me, you're dealing with worries. Wars, economic losses, violent crimes, convincing reasons to worry. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor and author of the book Letting Go of Worry. You know, even if you don't give in to worry on a national scale, some of us have what I might call life worries. Oh, I'm healthy now, but what disease is ahead for me? Or worse, it's for someone I love. Am I prepared for retirement? Could I lose my job and not be able to find another one? Or maybe you worry about even smaller things. Will I get caught in traffic? Will I be invited to a friend's wedding? Worry can cloud our days and plague us with restless, wide-awake nights. But the Word of God is clear. We can't fix the reasons we worry, but we can stop the worry cycle. Philippians 4:6 is bold. Do not worry, it says. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. The worry cycle is broken when we focus on a God who is able to handle all the reasons we worry.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Driving to work the last few days, I noticed the leaves are starting to change color. Even though afternoons still warm up to summer-like temperatures, the morning air has that crisp feel about it. Fall is coming. Whether it's summer to fall to winter, winter to spring, or back to summer again, the change of seasons has an effect on us. Be aware of changes in your mood as a new season approaches. Without realizing it, a little depression can sneak in. Recognizing the onset of a gloomy mood can be one way of heading off the gray clouds before they become a storm. A little sadness at summer's passing is nothing to worry about, but if the gloom doesn't lift, seeing a counselor might be in order. The key, Don't allow the darker days of fall or winter to keep you from enjoying your life every day. God's Word tells us, you created the night and the day. You set the sun and the moon in their places. You made summer and winter. The Lord, in all His wisdom, has ordained the seasons for us. So don't let a little change pull you down. Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about should kids play contact sports. And I've got an expert here, Dr. Mike Huber, who's a family practice physician who's done a lot of work with professional athletes and people that play sports in high school and college. We were talking before the break about this repeated hits on the head. So we went out and we asked a lot of people, what do they think? Should kids play contact sports? I want you to listen to this woman who responded to the question.
Sure.
I'd like soccer and things that could have a negative outcome, I think that those should be allowed. But something like football, where it's every single play, I think that contact sports in that sense, that should be legal.
So she's making a distinction between football and soccer and other sports, thinking that football is the absolute worst. So what do you think about that?
Well, football ranks number one in men, there's no doubt, with regards to concussions in high school and in college. Soccer is number one in women in
really?
High school and college, yes. It's not as benign as you think. And when you think about the amount of head contacts that occur in a football game compared to the amount of concussions you have, and I'll point out it comes to certain levels of play, obviously, but it's not as frequent as you would think in regards to the violence of the sport. But when you figure that in a professional football game, when somebody's tackling somebody, they're tackling them at about a 20-mile-per-hour impact.
I know. It's amazing how hard they hit.
A soccer ball
other.
Is at 70-miles-per-hour impact.
Isn't that crazy?
So
that's hitting my head at 70 miles versus a professional athlete hitting me at 20?
I saw, in relation to the amount of people playing, a lot more concussions in girls and women playing soccer than I do in football.
But there is some truth to what she's saying about the number of times that you're getting hit. Or does that matter? If you're just getting hit hard on kind of a regular basis in soccer with that ball.
Yeah, it depends on the position you play in soccer.
Yeah.
And that comes with that, too. But it's also head-to-head blows in soccer with two people going up to get a ball.
Yeah, that's
It's also getting kicked in the head with soccer. So there's a lot of things that can occur in that, not to deter from those sports. I mean, my son got a concussion in playing baseball this fall just by missing a ground ball that bopped and hit him in the head.
So it can happen in any kind of sport.
Any sport.
Does it just simply take time to heal to prevent the CTE, or is it permanent thing for people?
The CTE is chronic damage. I mean, it is something that once it's occurred, has occurred.
You can't reverse it.
You're not going to reverse
it. Oh, gosh.
But on that aspect of stuff, the important point of it is recognizing and taking care of concussions when you see them and properly taking care of them. That's the whole key to this. And with regards to parents, coaches, trainers, and players, teaching them the aspect of what is a concussion? What happens? What do I have to do when I get it? And how do I take care of it? That's the key.
I know you've talked a lot about this with coaches, and you've worked a lot with coaches on this. We've made some progress in this, haven't we, in terms of people being able to identify those signs and actually taking the player out?
Right. Most states now have a law. All of the coaches, assistant coaches and head coaches in football, the referees and the athletic trainers have to have a once-a-year basic training session on concussions. And a lot of colleges now require students to sign a form that states they've read this, they understand what a concussion is, they understand the damage that can be done and the symptoms with it.
Okay.
So they become aware too.
It isn't so much the parent, but the player himself or herself can sometimes argue, I'm good, I can go back in.
Well, they do. They try to hide it.
Yeah.
They absolutely do. And they're given a mentality that's taught from the parents and the school. Hey, tough it out. Get back in there. Mm-hmm. These used to be called dingers when we played. He got a dinger in the head. He got knocked goofy or loopy.
Yeah. Got another interesting comment from a listener. Let's take a listen.
I have a son who's a football player, so yes.
Right.
Yeah, he's actually going to UVA to play football for UVA in January. So they should be allowed to play contact sports.
Okay, well, there's an emphatic yes.
And here's a young man that's made it to the highest level, maybe not at UVA this year. But
yeah, we would agree.
Yeah, but at the highest level playing a D1 sport, yeah, which is quite an accomplishment and an achievement for a young person, male or female. This guy obviously loves this sport. And so you hope
that's
over
the thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
No,
if they
absolutely
love
the
sport,
key.
They have passion. But listen, but this is so interesting to me because President Obama, Brett Favre, Bob Costas, Terry Bradshaw, and Tom Brady's dad said that they would not, if they all had sons, and that's where President Obama comes in, but they said they would not allow their sons to play football. Now, Tom Brady's dad said that.
There's two things about that. With my son growing up, he wasn't allowed to play till he got in seventh grade, and I made certain of that.
Say something about that, because I don't think people understand the difference in the smaller child
right.
playing contact sports, especially with the helmets on. So tell us about
right.
that.
The coaches in the high school teams that I was associated with in Texas were big. They were state champions. I mean, these were the true Friday Night Light kind of
yeah,
schools.
Yeah, this is like where football reigns.
Right.
Yeah.
And the coaches there were pretty adamant about not letting kids play until they got to seventh grade. One is they wanted them to be taught properly. So they wanted them to be taught by coaches at the school and not dads. The second thing is there's a little bit more of a balance with regards to the size of kids once you mm-hmm. start to get to junior high, a little bit better than a big tough kid who's 12 and your kid hasn't
yeah,
even begun
like
to grow.
3 feet tall and
right.
being speared by
and
that person.
Being taught proper tackling and proper mm-hmm. techniques, and then also having the supervision of athletic trainers and now properly trained coaches on what to look for with this. And so I told Stephen with regards to growing up, my son, that there's lots of sports and you need to build up dexterity and you need to build up your athleticism. Football's there if you want it. And he played some in high school and he enjoyed it. But I would tell parents that. It's like, I don't want my child burned out anyhow in a sport. But I think if a young kid wants to play, boy or girl wants to
yeah,
play football, it should
hard.
Be flag. Why not just make it flag football? Why are these kids carrying around these helmets that weigh more than their heads?
Boston University Medical says not unless they're over the age of 14.
Right.
So they make 14 as the distinction there.
So they make it in high school, basically.
Yeah. So we've got a couple other ones that we're going to get to in a minute because we do want to talk about the positives. We'll come back and do that in the last segment. I just think this whole idea of trying to decide as a parent when the child really wants to play and you're just so worried about this because parents don't want to be setting their kids up for damaging their brains later in life.
Well, then what needs to happen is this. Parents, just as the coaches have become educated in this and physicians have become educated in this in the last 10 years, parents need to get educated
on
the
true.
Signs and symptoms of concussions and understand the truth of it and the falseness of it with regards to concussions, what's important to know about it, when to recognize it with your child, and don't be afraid to step over coaches who's insistent that we play through this because they don't see blood, then you have to be the one to override that.
What I was reading about this was that you have to have complete rest after a concussion. I mean, not even the mental stimulation.
Nothing.
And one of the things that we know is that concussions are sometimes tied to depression and even suicide. And we've seen this in some of these NFL players where suddenly they commit suicide and it just doesn't seem to fit the profile of who they are. So there's some very serious side effects of these building up concussions. So the issue, too, is that if they're repeated, isn't it if you have one after another, after another, after another?
Well, there's a couple facts there with that. One is that when you get a concussion, you are twice as likely to get another concussion with less amount of impact.
Oh, gosh.
If you get two concussions, then you are three times more likely to get another concussion with even less impact. And that keeps growing. That ratio keeps growing on them. So it's the repetitive damage. What we know from the past, especially in the NFL, is that these people were not pulled from games. They were not put to rest. It takes about 7 to 10 days on the average to get over a concussion and all the symptoms of a concussion.
Yeah, and they weren't doing what they needed to do.
They weren't been given that. If you weren't knocked out, which you don't have to be knocked out
right,
for a concussion.
Right, that's another myth.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, 90% of concussions occur without loss of consciousness.
When we come back, what I'd like you to do is give us some of the myths about concussions because I think those are really important.
Sure.
You just mentioned that. And then we're going to listen to a couple more people because we do want to talk about some of the benefits of playing sports as well. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Mike Huber. Should kids play contact sports? Be back in a moment. Well, the other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out." But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, "Be angry, but do not sin." So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Being a generous person can have big benefits for you. Giving your time or your money or even your talent to someone else can obviously help the receiver. But did you know that being generous can roll some positive benefits back on you? This is Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, and I'm here to share some of the benefits of generosity. Lower blood pressure, reduced stress, a better mood, and even longer life have been identified as benefits of being generous. That's right, physical and mental improvements for you just because you choose to extend something to someone else. What can you give? Your time, your talent, your support, oh, and yes, your money. You see, hoarding money like Scrooge may seem good for your wallet, but it's not so great for your health. One recent study actually showed that stingy behavior increases stress. So take a minute and just ask, what do I have that I can share? Then be generous and see how good you feel when you share something you have with someone else. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about, should kids play contact sports? And I've got my special guest here, Dr. Mike Huber, who's a family practice physician who's worked quite a bit in professional sports on the high school level and the college level, very knowledgeable about concussions and CTE and all the things that we're talking about related to sports. Also wanted to just mention, if you want more information about what we're talking about, I always write a blog on myfaithradio.com, and you can also go to my website, drlindamental.com, which does feed the blog and some other interesting issues around this. I have a cute little article on Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Play Football. Kind of a take on an old country song that some people might not even know about. But Dr. Huber, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some benefits to sports. So I want to listen to a couple of people who are reacting to this question, should kids play contact sports?
I think kids should play contact sports because it builds character, and you know, just stop there.
He's going to stop there. Okay. So he's saying, yeah, they should because of the character. What do you think about that?
There's a tremendous amount of benefit to sports, not just football, but any sport. So when you're involved in a team sport, the concept of what kids go through to be in that, to become part of that team, to progress, to get better with a group of their peers and stuff, I think it's a huge part of growing up. I don't care if they're on a dance team. It doesn't matter to me, but they need to have that socialization.
Yeah. Here's another listener. He's got an interesting take on that as well.
Kids need to play contact sports because it gets them off the street and influences them to do better things rather than be attentionless and into drugs and stuff like that.
It's a good point, isn't it?
It's a focal point. It makes the child responsible.
It is a very positive way to use all that energy and that testosterone and all the aggression that you feel when you're
aggression.
A teenager, especially
yep.
when you need to channel that someplace. Yep. I also think it builds huge leadership in kids. Yep. It, like you were saying, makes them a part of a team and understand how to work with people, which is a life skill
yep.
that a lot of these kids really need to learn.
They do.
They do. So just quickly, before we're almost out of time, and there's so much we could talk about, give us a couple of the myths so that we aren't misinformed.
The biggest myth about concussions is that it requires to be knocked out. And
yeah.
like I said earlier, 90% of the concussions do not have loss of consciousness with a concussion. So that's the number one myth that has to be debunked. The second myth is that when your kid gets a concussion, that you have to run them to the hospital to get a CT of the head.
Oh, okay.
By far and away, they're completely negative. So it's a radiation issue of getting a CT done on your head for no reason at all.
Okay.
So I think those are the two big ones.
So what about the rest part of it? Is that accurate, that you need to let them rest? Like, I was reading that you shouldn't even make them do
physical problems and brain rest.
So
we tell them, bedroom, minimal lights, no TV, no phone,
okay,
no computer till symptoms subside. So the headaches, nausea, dizziness, whatever their symptoms are, they need to subside. We have a full regimen that we use where they go back into physical activity a little bit at a time as long as they remain asymptomatic.
Okay. So any other big myths that we should know about?
No, those are the two big ones. The number one thing I would tell parents is get online and get educated about the signs and symptoms that people have with concussions. And then if you think your child has a concussion, you take him to a physician who knows what they're talking about with concussions.
Okay.
Let him clear him to go back to play.
So you would say go to the physician's office rather than take him to the emergency room or something
like that?
Well,
if it's a progressive symptom going on where they're getting sicker and sicker, I would take them to the emergency room. But if your child had a concussion, wasn't knocked out, isn't throwing up, but had some symptoms, and before he would be allowed to go back to play, I would have him cleared by a physician who knows what they're doing with concussions.
Okay. So that's great information. There's so much we could talk about on this topic, but I think the big thing I'm hearing from you for parents is an informed consent, that if you're going to make the decision to let your child play, we talked about there are benefits to team sport. You know, I let my son play and my daughter played, and so you just have to make that personal decision knowing what the problems could be.
As a parent, get educated.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much, Dr. Huber, for coming today and for kind of clearing the air. We're hearing about this in the news every day, especially with the NFL. I think this is a really important topic. And when you hear these stories about CTE and concussions and all the things that can go wrong, you need to understand what that information is all about, and then you have to make the decision about what you're going to do in your family, and don't let other people influence you. You make that decision because it's your child. Well, that's all the time we have for today, and so I want to say many thanks to our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our producer, Pam Miller, our man on the street, Derek Battle, and to my special guest, Dr. Huber. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and coming today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's always good to have you. We'll have to have him back. And from all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.